Good morning. Y'all well rested? Did you rest in the worship? Did you experience the move of the Spirit in the worship? Could you feel the presence of God in the worship? Y'all rested? Okay, we can stand up and read the word. Why don't you have take your feet? We'll stand up if you're able. If you're unable, that's fine. Live and walk in the Spirit. We're reading from Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the thing that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the law of the flesh are evident. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. What a list. Of which I've told you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Heavenly Father, we just ask for your presence. We know you're here, but let us experience your presence in a deep way as we hear the word of God being preached, being read, and spoken of. I ask that you open our ears and give us ears to hear. Open our minds to receive the fullness of what you have, but mostly, Father, let it get to our heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just very quickly, everybody can sit except for the Kelly family, if they could stand up. They've come to visit us. Looks like McKenna bolted, Tommy bolted, but they were all here yesterday as they were a big part of what took place yesterday at Camp Daniel as being big construction people and workers in that ministry. Thank you for being here. They are also missionaries to the outer parts of the earth, Kenya, Africa, different countries in Africa, Central America. You're going to probably be in the Middle East before you know it, seeing that materials are going out to the nations. In Jesus' name, we ask God's blessing upon you. So, after the service, if you get an opportunity, go come up and say hi to Tim and Chrissy and the family. That would be wonderful. You can do that. They would love that. In Jesus' name. This week, before we get into the message, there was just a terrible thing that took place when a little girl, I'm going to get emotional because I feel what those who I love feel. But she was killed by a car. She's just a 9-year-old girl. So we lift up the Newkirk family to you, Reed and Christine, the mom and dad, and the brother John. We just celebrated a life up here and dedicated it. And then when we lose one, it's painful. But the hope lies in that we know where she is. And she is in the arms of her Savior. It's just that while we're left behind, we still hurt. And we still grieve. So I pray for those parents that are grieving. I pray for the whole Providence Academy school who's probably grieving over this, the teachers, the principal, and all who are involved there. We ask God's hand upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week I got a chance to listen to Pastor Tim's message. And I think if you left after hearing that message, you left murmuring the words in your head, by grace, through faith alone, we are saved. Salvation comes to those because of the grace of God and because of their faith in that God who is able to deliver them and save them from what? From themselves, from this world, from sin. You see, Jesus came into this world not to condemn it like some think, but to save it. Save it from what? From judgment and condemnation. So we rejoice. Tim, that was a powerful message. And I think I might have stole a thing or two out of it. I'm not sure. We'll find out. I'm going to lay a foundation that goes off of what I just said about what Pastor Tim spoke about last week. I'm going to add to it a little bit. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." That is every one of us who have come to Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, and Jesus came and made us alive. That's a big deal. Because if you're stuck in your death and your sin, it's eternal. We've said it before and before and before and again. That it is every bit as eternal as heaven is for the believer if we're apart from God. We need to let that sit in just a little bit. Let that marinate. "In which you once walked according to the course of this world." You see, there's a world system out there that we are in. We have to be in. This is where we exist. That world system is against God's system. We battle a world system. It's hard to change a world system, except you do it one by one. As a believer, if you step in and you speak life into somebody, you speak Christ into somebody, that could change their world. It doesn't necessarily change a world system. But praise God for the one that is saved, because one of you all, one of the believers across this world, have stepped out of themselves and spoken life to a person. So we wrestle this world system. Continuing on, it says, "According to the prince of the power of the air." So we walk according to this world and according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? Does anybody know? That's Satan. You know he's real? No, he's not. He's just a scary movie storyteller. That's what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe he's not real. He wants you looking at each other, fighting against and having discord with each other, but he is as real as God is real. He is real, and he hates your guts. His desire is that death would come to you, primarily spiritual death. If you think that he's not a real thing, it's just something that goes bump in the night, he's already got you where he wants you, and that's totally deceived and blind to this reality. We battle the world system. We battle the flesh, and we battle the prince of the power of the air. And sometimes, in my mind's eye, the toughest battle is the flesh, because the flesh is linked to this demonic force that is constantly shooting darts at me, tempting me, luring me. I don't want to say words that we use for God drawing us, but taking me away from the truth of who God is. And my flesh is so oftentimes willing to go to that place. So we battle a world system. We battle the enemy of our soul, Satan, and we battle the flesh. And the flesh is difficult. Stick an ice cream cone in front of you and say, "Don't eat it," on a 95-degree day, and you will know about your flesh and its weaknesses. And I can use ice cream cones because they're simple and they're non-offensive. But the reality is they're real. Not the ice cream cones. Those are real too. I'm talking about the temptations are real. How many men are here right now? I'm going to ask the men to stand up. I'm going to ask the fathers and the grandfathers to stand up for a second. The enemy that I'm speaking about right now attacks you all in ways I think that, well, they're obviously different sometimes, but in such powerful ways that you're discredited too many times for who you are and what you stand for. The enemy of your soul comes at the men in different kinds of ways. And on this, our Father's Day, happy Father's Day to you. Today's your payday. We're going to bless you guys before you leave this place with a thought. And the thought we're going to bless you with is that you are so vitally important. I saw the young man, Bradley, with his hand on his baby. Actually, let's be honest, I took his hand and I put it on his baby. To train up, to show the significance of the father in a child's life. You men have been through it and you're not done, are you? You grandfathers have been through it and you're not done. We have some great grandparents here. You've been through it and you're not done. I pray God's richest blessing and protection upon you. Because when everybody out in this world that we battle, in your own flesh that you battle, and the prince that you battle is coming against you, I'm here to say you are so important, so vitally important, and you make a difference in the lives of the people that you're in contact with. Dads are a big deal. When dads are not present, it's not the way it ought to be. I'm giving a special focus to men, but men have missed what they deserve in terms of being what God has called them to be. And I know what you battle. I know what we all battle as men, fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers. So if the rest of the congregation could clap for these men, it would be great. You may be seated. At the end of the day, you fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, I said it was payday. That was the primary pay and thought, but we're going to give you a payday candy bar on your way out. And I'm just going to suggest if you have peanut allergies, give me your payday. I'll take them. We were going to do $100,000 bar as well. That was a little too much for us. No, I'm kidding. Couldn't get a hold of them. Anyway, they're not the precious dainty macarons. These have wrappers, man. Peanuts. Nougat. Salt. Ugh. I love the men in this church, and I thank God for you. So among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That's the foundational setting I just wanted to lay for this message, because it's what we battle. Now this is back to men and women. We battle the world, the flesh, and the devil. We know that. You get an idea of what you're saved from. And Pastor Tim said so clearly last week, for by grace you have been saved through your faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of the good works you do. It's a gift from God. You heard before that the works that we do, the good ones, we don't even come from us. They come from God. Any good gift has its origin in Christ. But when we are his child, we get to operate in those gifts, lest any of us boast. That's the foundation of this for today. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. In Isaiah 48:16, it says, come near to me. Hear this. This is the prophet Isaiah mouthing the words of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to the Son. It says, come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From that time it was. I was there. And now the Lord God and his Spirit, capital H, have sent me. So when they are sent, and they're still sent to this day, Jesus Christ is sent. His Holy Spirit is now sent. It is for you, and it is for me, and it is for those who are still living in condemnation. It is for those who are living in judgment. We have a ministry on Thursday nights where people come in feeling that they've been judged by the world. You know what? They have been. Because that's what the world does. It judges. They come in feeling that they've been judged by themselves in self-condemnation. And they have. Because that's what guilt does to the unbeliever. And they come in carrying a weight of guilt that they can't bear on their own, and they need to come to a place where there's a respite and a break from that. And they come in from the world in a system that is so incredible. And then when he breathes the breath of God into your life, you now have a transformed life, and you begin a process of transforming your life, conforming to his pattern, not the world's pattern. It's so powerful, it's so beautiful, but it's also so effective when he sends you out to do what he's called you to do. What's the battle? We war. The spirit wars against the flesh. What's the battle? In my flesh, I say things like, well, that was happenstance, or yeah, that felt good, but it wasn't really all that. We begin to diminish God. That's our go-to, is to diminish God. So we don't have to change. We don't have to operate in the power of that spirit because it looks weird or it looks flaky or it's so churchy. God, forgive us. When I ask for the Holy Spirit, I want it all. Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me full to overflowing. Go into the depths of the bone and the marrow of my life and let me explode in what? Not those things we read earlier. Not the adulteries, the fornications, the all the sex sins that I read through that I don't even want to go through those again. But no, he's going to explode within me the gifts that he has. He's going to explode in me the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control. Explode that in me so it explodes onto other people. Let them see my light shine. Let them see the salt or taste the salt of what I'm about because the Spirit of God dwells in me. Why does the Spirit of God dwell in me? Because God breathed it into me. Why did he breathe it into me? Because I asked for it. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? It's different. It's different than me making a conscious decision to change. Because in my flesh dwells no good thing. I can't muster anything up in me to make me good. But when he comes into me because I asked for him, now everything I do, before I even speak, I have impact. I'm not saying I, me. I'm saying I, we, who are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have impact before you even step to do the work. You're having impact. People are seeing things you don't even know they're seeing in you. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. When you speak life to people. Who's speaking life to people? Get outside of the church. Get outside of the Spirit of God. Who's speaking life to people? We're going to do some good things. We're going to send some bombs and stuff over to the Ukraine. That seems like a good thing. And if I was in charge, I'd probably do something like that. Is that life? No, that's bombs. There's some ammunition over there, 4 billion, whatever. Let's get some good bombs, smart bombs. We'll send those over there. Is that about life? Might be about preserving a life here and there, but it's about bombs. It's about killing. This is different than that plane, that world. When I say we speak life, we're speaking life in the spirit realm to people that desperately need to hear what God has to say. Amen. When the believer speaks, it comes, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it has an authority about it. It's bigger than you. There's no boasting about this. It's what he is doing in you. And when you speak on his behalf, it has impact. And by the way, it doesn't mean everybody gets saved. Sometimes the impact is too overwhelming for people to be around you because of their condemnation. Sometimes it breaks them right there. And they're ready to hear the truth. Think about those lost people. Some of you are lost people in this room right now. Think about them. What's your end game? What's your thing that's going to get you through? Well, I'm going to be an old man. I'm going to get my retirement. I'm going to get my Social Security. And then, then I'm going to die. Okay. That same thing's going to happen to me. As a believer, the same thing's going to happen to me. I'm going to get my Social Security. I'm going to get my pension. I'm going to get my this. I'm going to get my that. And then I'm going to die. For me, it's the beginning. I'm just starting. But what about for the poor sap that doesn't know who Christ is? I say poor sap because they go right into death. And I'm not talking sleep. I'm talking eternal damnation, separation from God. What's the greatest of these fruits? I said love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's what God gives us. It begins with love. It begins with love. Right now, in the church, one of the greatest attacks I see happening is the attack on love. They're attacking love and they're minimizing love. How dare us? That's the greatest gift God's given us. And we begin to diminish it because it doesn't fit my ideology. And we start thinking about ideologies rather than spirituality in Christ. Love is the greatest gift. Love conquers all. All things will pass away, but love remains. Y'all got married. All the people that got married probably use that verse. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's always this and it's always that. And then it talks about all the gifts of the church, the gong and clangs and the banging cymbals and all those gifts, speaking in tongues, in which I love to do, all those things, they will pass away. Two things don't pass away. Love and his word does not pass away. That's, I want that gift. Doesn't rust, doesn't corrode, doesn't get old. I can refurbish, I can refill. That's love. Now do love. How do we do love? By the rest of those things. Be patient, be kind, be gentle, be long-suffering, be patient. We'll be those things. We'll be what comes after love. See, out of love comes little babies, I guess is what I can't think of, spiritual baby things that you get. I'm kind. I'm nice. Why? I got love all over me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. What did you guys do to me? Holy Spirit. In John 4:24, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Know that God is a spirit. Know that God is triune. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three are one, one in essence, one in purpose, but yet three distinct working bodies in the Trinity. Jesus came to save. Well, I can't get saved without the Holy Spirit prompting my heart and touching my heart. The Holy Spirit's touching my heart. Jesus pays the price for my penalty, and I have salvation. What does Jesus do? He always asks the Father, what is it you would have me do? Basically is what he's saying in the John 17 prayer. He's in one accord with the Father. What is God? The Bible says that God is two things. He's lots of things, but two primary things. God is love. God is spirit. I can continue on. God is, but we're going to have a time of worship and a time of coming forward and getting prayed for. So as Pastor James and his team leads us, just begin to come up. We want to pray for you. Some of you just want to come up and say hi. I guess I'm good with that. Come up and say hello. I'd like that. Say hi. I don't want you to do your congregation with the Kellys right now, but I want you to come up and see what God has for you. Come forward.